This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
James, long pass down the floor. Cryer tips it. Loose. Knipple has it. Throws to Proctor. Heaves up a three. No good. Houston from behind, 14 down to the national championship game.
Westwood One NCAA Radio Network, we're still not over it. It happened Saturday night, and here we are Monday morning. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Duke blowing a 14-point lead with 8:03 to play. Pearl, they were up 9 with 2:06, up 6 with 34 seconds. And Houston, with their stifling defense, the full-court press, Duke could not inbound the ball comfortably. Everything combined for just a stunning collapse. But, you know, did you see it more as a Duke collapse? Did you see it more as Houston coming out and doing what they do, which is being the best defensive team in the entire country? That's what they were all season long. They were never out of it. They never thought they were out of it. Even when things looked really, really bleak, like one of the players getting a technical foul for leaning over the baseline to knock the ball away from a Duke player. You can't do that. That's when I thought the Houston was really sunk, but they weren't. They come back. They're playing for the national title tonight against Florida.
Wait, are you asking, was that a Duke choke or a Houston good job? How, I don't understand.
Houston comeback.
Yeah, I just don't understand how Houston, who's this great defense, how did Duke score on them so effectively for the first 30 minutes of the game and then just lose it? There is no doubt that a couple reasons Duke choked. They don't have a guard. That was obvious. And they're young. And they panicked.
Yeah, but you know what? The guy who had some of the biggest blunders was Sion James is not young. You know, and, yeah. And I can, you could say Cooper Flagg is young and Con Knipple is young and Malawak is young. But they also did have some guys with a little bit more experience, like a Tyrese Proctor or James, as I said. And those guys even got tight. Here's the thing. This will always be remembered as Duke blowing it.
Of course.
But I feel like that is just a little too oversimplified. And I think this is what could propel Houston to win the national title tonight. People are, I know it's weird because they're one seed. I get that. But perennially sleeping on Houston here. And they are. Look, at the betting market came out when the when it was like the matchup was set. Houston and Florida. Houston was the favorite. And the public bet Florida to be the favorite. Now, it was tight. It was like a 1.5-point favorite. It wasn't huge.
Right.
But the public came out and bets. And so much money came in on Florida that the favorite actually flipped. I do think there is this, I don't say anti-Houston. It's not anti. It's overlooking. It's overlooking Houston because I honestly can't explain it. Maybe because they're in the Big 12 and not the SEC. I don't know what it is.
They're just not that great a team. I mean, they definitely should have lost on Saturday. They're a good team. They're definitely good. But you look at their talent. You see all the NBA talent. Duke, Houston does not have that NBA talent. I just think that it looked like they were the inferior team for 98% of the game. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why we're sleeping on them, where Florida kind of put a stranglehold on Auburn.
Well, did they? I mean, they were trailing at halftime.
Yeah,
they're not full of NBA pros.
I just think that I would personally, I feel like Florida has the advantage here, but you're right. Maybe I'm sleeping on Houston again. We're sleeping on Houston. How many times have they been a number one seed and not won?
Well, I think this is their third time, yeah, right, being a number one seed. But to be fair, it's not like they're not losing in the first and second round again, you know, losing in the Sweet 16.
I mean, I think you're right. I do think people sleep on Houston. It's because for a couple of reasons. They've always been a mid-major, and they don't have a superstar like Cooper Flagg.
More of a team game, that's for sure.
And they play an ugly style as well. They're not exactly, those games aren't pretty. I'm thinking of Houston, Tennessee. I mean, that was,
Tennessee couldn't hit a shot in that game, but, too.
Right, I mean, because of Houston. Houston just mucks it up. They want that ball on the ground so everyone can die for, you know, Kelvin Sampson intentionally mucks it up. I think that was one of the things he gave the broadcasters, like, we want to make it ugly. So I think there's some of that style makes a fight.
Yeah, it's physical, but a lot of times we like that in sports. You know, we like the team that brings the fight. Yeah, the physical, gritty team. I mean, you know, it's not going to be all alley-oop dunks in 7 seconds or less. I mean, this is, Houston did what they needed to win a basketball game. And I guess the bigger question here also from the Duke standpoint is how much do people's, I want to say, I hate the word narratives, but like reputations kind of pivot off of this game where no one now thinks John Shire's not a good coach anymore, but he got out-coached in that second half. I don't think anyone thinks Cooper Flagg is now not a good player. He's going to go to the NBA. He's going to be the number one overall pick. But when we talk about these great tournament runs and these generational talents, the dude couldn't really put the team on his back when they absolutely needed it. He got a pretty good look there at the end, a BS over the back foul. I'll meet you there all day. That was a terrible foul. College refs suck. We all know that. I hated that over the back. But Cooper Flagg did get a good look. He got the look. I don't know if it's exactly the one he wanted, but it wasn't like he was this awkward off balance. Like, he got a mid-range jumper basically from the elbow, and he shorted it.
But you can't kill him for that. Everybody missed. LeBron and Michael Jordan missed a million last second.
But he didn't put the team on his back when they absolutely needed it. It was a scoring drought unlike no other. They were outscored 25-8 in the final 8:02 and outscored 9-0 in the final 34 seconds. I mean, you were expecting Flagg at some point to be like, we're not losing this game, and he could not do that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's at this point physically capable of doing that. Going against a very old, very strong Houston team, I can't believe he scored 27 points against this team. That's what I'm saying. Duke, for most of the game, looked unstoppable. It gets this great Houston defense. They remember Tennessee couldn't hit anything. Like Duke was going backdoor cutting. They were doing anything they wanted. And I think that the moment just became too big for them. I think this is a classic choke job.
Wow. I mean, well, that doesn't bode well. I mean, I know that they're all young. I get that. But that doesn't bode well for them either. If you think it was more mental than what Houston was doing to make them uncomfortable.
Oh, absolutely. I think, 100%. All that panicking on the inbounds plays.
Yeah.
The thing about Shire might get into that John Calipari area where you have too many young stars and you can't, you know, and the other end of the spectrum is Jay Wright where you have no stars. I wonder if Shire is systematically putting himself in a hole where he's going to have trouble winning a title because he just has too many good players. I know that sounds weird, but too many good players so they'll go pro too soon.
Well, but listen, every coach in the country would have taken Flagg.
True.
But every coach would have taken Knipple.
Absolutely. Yeah. Every coach would have. But,
and he would have gotten killed if the ball wasn't in Flagg's hand at the end of the game.
Right.
I think.
But can Shire win a title in a Danny Hurley, Jay Wright kind of way? Or is he just going to cycle through these superstar freshmen? Or will he change? I know he did a nice job. He brought in some veterans around them. But it's not going to be easy for him to win a title. I mean, Duke, when's the last time they even were in a title game? It's been 10 years.
I understand. I think that there's like, it's funny because before the Final Four game, you know, before the national semifinal, we were asking the question, like, man, if John Shire wins this, is he like headed to the NBA? And, you know, he's on a rocket ship. We talked to Tom Crean about this on Friday, and Tom was like, he's such a great coach. I think Todd Golden is now taking that. You know, Todd Golden, who's the head coach of Florida, his use of analytics, how forward thinking he is, how young he is. You know, I'm not saying that Shire is not, listen, you lose a game like that doesn't mean all of a sudden you suck as a head coach. That's not what I'm saying. But the rocket ship, I think, kind of got put on pause a little bit. The launch got put on pause. And now it could be Todd Golden's world where if tonight Florida does beat Houston, say a 39-year-old head coach beats Kelvin Sampson in his 60s and the way that he's done it, which is like analytics, which is catnip to a lot of these NBA front offices, I think that you put Dot Golden on that rocket ship, and maybe he's out to the NBA, and he becomes like the next Brad Stevens and the next like wunderkind coach.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. I don't think so for a couple of reasons. One, Todd Golden has some reported personal issues.
Yeah.
I think that's an issue.
He did get cleared of a Title IX investigation that he was kind of being creepy, like stalking some women on campus.
I think John Shire, if he wanted to go to the NBA, would still be a very, very hot name. I think Brad Stevens didn't win the title. You know, I guess Golden's got
some back-to-back titles, but
Brad Stevens for me felt a little more personable than Todd Golden. Shire also uses the analytics. He took all of Golden's analytics, so he's open to all that new stuff. I still think the NBA, if Shire wanted to go that direction, I think he'd be a super hot name. He's also got a lot of connections where Todd Golden's a little different.
Yeah, he's only been coaching for 6 years. Shire's been a head coach for three, but Shire had that big college career.
Yeah, you know? And floated around sort of the G League or whatever.
Yeah.
I think Shire, if he wanted to go NBA, would still be there's both of them, and they're so young. That's so attractive to NBA owners.
How disappointing is this for Duke? 888-710-4ISN. Is there part of you that liked watching this? You are a noted Duke hater.
I have to be honest, I get a little credit for this.
You want credit. Were you up there with a hand in Cooper
Flagg's face? I tweeted out of pure frustration with 10 minutes left in the game. They can't stop Duke. There isn't a single play. Duke had about 9 possessions in a row where they scored. I'm like, this is over. I called it over.
Yeah.
I was so mad. I wanted Houston to beat Duke so badly. I'm sorry. I'm a Duke hater. I'm not going to lie about that.
I'm glad you're open about it. And the one bandwagon you will not jump on.
Well, I'll jump on the...
I'll
jump on the players. That sounds wrong. Because I loved Zion more than anything at Duke. That was my favorite college player of all time.
Yeah.
And I like Flagg a lot, but... seeing Duke crumble and seeing Coach K up front, it was kind of fun. And I like Ken Jeong, by the way. There's nothing wrong with him. There's a lot of good things about Duke, but this goes back to Hurley later. I hated those guys.
It's a deep ingrained kind of hate.
As a lot of people did. What was the name of the documentary?
I hate Christian Laettner.
I hate Christian Laettner. I was right there. So that's sort of in my bones to hate Duke. And I like Houston. But, you know, I think we all feel a general positivity towards the Houston Cougars.
Yeah, I think so, but Walter Clayton Jr. for Florida, I think, has now taken the mantle as the singular star. No disrespect to LJ Cryer and to Milos Uzan and those guys, but I do think that Clayton Jr., with his shot-making ability, how he was able to save them against UConn and then against Auburn, and he's basically played himself from maybe like a second-round pick to possibly a lottery pick. If he has another 30-point game or plays really well tonight against that Houston defense, I think he definitely is a lottery pick, and now he's like in our lives for a lot longer than we probably thought. He's been excellent as far as singular start. Can I tell you something that made me feel like a little bit bad about watching Duke lose on Saturday night?
What could possibly make you feel bad?
So, you know, listen, I'm no Duke fan either, right? Let's just put all the cards on the table. But when I see the players lose, I always feel a little bit bad because, you know, they really put the sweat in, right? Like, no one else is waking you up at 5 o'clock in the morning. You got to get up. You got to do the workouts. You got to love it. But when I see the Duke fans crying, I'm sorry. There's part of me that has to laugh. I'm like, really?
What part of you would not laugh at that?
I can't help it.
Everybody hates Duke.
No, but it's like, there's something about their fans crying. I'm like, seriously? Like, first of all, you're going to Duke. So, like, congrats. You're winning at life, you know? Like, you get to go to Duke University. You know, you get a step up into this world, you know, that few get. And just, like, you'd cry over the basketball team losing when you've had all the success. Like, I laugh at the fans. They put it on one girl, and she would just had tears streaming down her face. And I'm just like, but how? Like, why?
Okay.
You look like...
You're
you
even
look
meaner
foolish.
Than me.
I know. And I felt bad. And I knew
terrible.
In the moment,
okay.
I was like, you're acting like
bad
a jerk.
Bad guy, Maggie. You're a bad guy.
I felt bad.
So,
but also, like,
and it was
I
a
laughed.
Woman who was crying,
yes.
too?
You
Jesus,
guys saw her. She had the face paint on, you know. No, her friend was consoling her. She might have been holding a trombone. Maybe she was part of the band. I have no sympathy for men. This was a woman. I had no sympathy for her.
Evidently, you don't have sympathy for women either.
I'm an equal opportunity hater. Just for Duke fans. It's like crying for
haters.
People who, like, go to Harvard, you know? It's like, well, wah. You're going to be fine.
Yeah. Whatever.
Or Dartmouth.
Or Dartmouth. Maybe someone who's sitting right next to me a little closer to home. 888-710-4ISN.
But
you love most team owners, though. Those are your favorite people.
Yes, the billionaires, the ones I'm rooting for, if you know anything about me.
Oligarchy.
The broligarchy. That's who I'm rooting for.
Sitting next to Bernie Sanders here.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of billionaires. I think it's amoral. 888-710-4ISN. That's just a little about me. 888-710-4476. But enough about that. Let's talk about Duke. This collapse. I'll tell you what, at some point, Shire and Flagg and Knipple, like they'll move past this, but they're never going to get over it. It's one of the all-time collapses in NCAA tournament history. I can say sports history. I mean, this one's going to stay with Shire. And add on top of it, last year's loss to NC State was devastating. So he's got a couple now. He's collecting these bad losses, if you will. And it's going to be a thing until he finally wins. And by the way, this was probably the best team he's ever going to have, no?
Well, they're young, though. I mean, again, if he's going to change his philosophy, like he's Coach Cal 2.0, I think, in some ways.
Well, Cal did win.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He will win at some point, but he's got to get the right year where there aren't a lot of old teams against him. That's how I feel. Or he gets a little older himself. I mean, Cooper Flagg just turned 18.
I know.
You can't even look at it. He's a baby. We have no idea what he's even going to look like when he's an adult. I filled out when I was 19, 20. Mm. That guy could be much bigger.
That's crazy because he's a pretty big dude. 888-710-4ISN. Get it going with Duke. Duke choke. Or was this a Houston comeback? And how are you feeling about the championship game tonight? Again, 888-710-4ISN. We've got a lot more for you. We've got our M&P 500, whose stock is up, whose stock is down after a gigantic weekend. We've got football news for you. We would never forget the NFL. And so much more. It is the Maggie and Perloff Show. Let us know, what did you think of that Duke choke? 888-710-4ISN. Let's go.
I'll jump on the players. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Did Duke choke, we'll say the word, or was that Houston's dominant defense that did the trick? Side topic that it's going around a lot on social media, trying to figure out a player comp for my guy, Cooper Flagg. I keep saying Cooper Cup.
Here's it's an not article. Cooper Cup is definitely not the comp.
The one that I'm seeing the most on the internet is Jason Tatum, which makes some sense. Seeing a little bit of Kawhi Leonard is getting a lot of love. EJ thinks Sean Marion. Here's one I like, Andre Kirilenko, because he's got the shot blocking. Cooper, that shot block, as badly as he played offensively in the last 10 minutes, that block shot was crazy. He really gets up on block shots. Grant Hill is one more. I'm not sure any of these fit. He's a unique prospect because he's so young. He's tall, but he can handle the ball. He has incredible court vision. His passing's amazing. And he's got the shot blocking ability. I think he doesn't. Scottie Pippen's another one, a little different. He's kind of in between about eight different players. So
okay, so I'm sorry, continue.
I think he's going to go number one, but he doesn't remind me of any of these players.
Well, that's the thing. Okay, he's going to go number one. We're putting the generational talent label on him, which, granted, we definitely overuse, but I do think like the shoe fits for this one. But think about all the guys you just named.
Yeah.
Outside of Tatum, and it didn't even end up being Tatum in this past championship that the Celtics won, Jaylen Brown ended up being the number one option. You didn't name any number one options on championship teams.
Yeah,
Andre Kirilenko, Sean Marion, even Pippen, who's of 50 greatest players of all time, was not the number one option. And when Jordan went to go play baseball, they couldn't win.
Well, so, I mean, who is the number one option? You're talking about LeBron and Michael Jordan knocked out everybody. There's very few guys who could guarantee are going to win a title. Like,
well,
that doesn't happen
Tatum,
in the NBA.
Right? Like, Tatum was, like, he, well, I mean, that was, like,
Tatum's part
he
of
was,
a team,
like, right there.
But you wouldn't say that Tatum is a singular player who is winning a title.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, and Jaylen Brown ends up winning finals MVP, and it was really more Brown. But Tatum is awesome. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. But I'm just saying the promise of Cooper Flagg, the projection of Cooper Flagg, would be, aren't you the number one option on a title contender?
Yeah, we could
But you didn't name any guys who we would ever... Listen, Andre Kirilenko and Sean Marion, these guys had phenomenal careers, but they were not number one options on title teams.
Right. That, first of all, I don't think he fits because he's way ahead of those guys offensively. I mean, again, he scored 27 points against Houston as an 18-year-old, a guy who turned 18. There's always Sean Marion or Andre Kirilenko were doing that. So... I think he's way ahead of these comps offensively, but there are things that remind you. Kawhi Leonard, he's got some Kawhi Leonard moves. Kawhi Leonard was number one.
That's true. Kawhi Leonard was the number one option on a championship.
Yeah, he won, and he won a finals MVP. So actually, a couple of these
two
guys.
Two finals MVPs, yeah. One with the Spurs, two one with Toronto.
So I think you could squint. He's not when Shaq came in the NBA and everyone's like, this guy's going to win a title. No, he's not like that at all. But that doesn't mean he's not an awesome number one overall pick.
ISN. A little curious, maybe are people looking at Cooper Flagg a little bit differently after this game? Again, I'm not saying it was his fault they lost. It's not. It wasn't his fault that they lost. But at the same time, he also couldn't put the team on his back when they really needed it. And I'm not just talking about one missed shot. He made some free throws, but they all went ice cold. And I think it's either Duke got tight or Houston deserves a lot of credit for their defense, a combination of both.
But don't you think the NBA was watching that game and salivating at Cooper Flagg? Remember, he came into this tournament with a hurt ankle, and he played out of his mind, in my opinion. He had a couple moves on Saturday night. One where he drove down the lane and sort of cocked it behind him and dunked on three guys. That was incredible. Then he had this lefty hook shot from 8 feet away. Who does that at 18 years old? Nobody. Then he had a block in the last couple of minutes that reminded you, oh, wow, he is tall, too.
Yeah. No, he's
huge. He can handle the ball. He's a great passer. He's got, to me, one of the distinguishing thing about great players is court vision, and he's got incredible court vision. So he's the whole deal. I think people are psyched. Then again, people were psyched when Zion Williamson was the number one pick, and he hasn't done anything.
Well,
so
but that's different. No, he can't stay healthy.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
If he was healthy, I think he could be an impact player. But honestly, I think people are lining up to draft this kid. There's nothing they saw. I mean, come on, the number two pick is going to be Dylan Harper or Ace Bailey, and they didn't even make the tournament. Nobody cares about actual winning in college basketball. It's not even I don't even think it's even consideration for NBA.
You know what? It will be for one guy who I think has the most to gain tonight, which is Walter Clayton Jr. It will matter for him. It definitely will.
If he wins or loses, you think this affects his draft status?
I do, or I guess more how he plays in the championship game. Like if he has 30 and they lose, I think it will still be a benefit for him.
Right.
But he's on this like Kemba, Shabazz Napier, like these individual runs, Melo, you know, these guys who are these kind of, I'm not saying he's the only thing going on for Florida who's going to play Houston tonight, but he's a guy who I think Cooper Flagg, no, it didn't matter. He could have lost in the first round and he still would have been the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
But for a guy like Walter Clayton Jr. who started his career at Iona, which is a small school in Westchester, New York, where Rick Pitino was coaching, and now to be like the main option on a team that won the SEC tournament and is playing for the national title, like the winning helps a guy like that. I think individually he has the absolute most to gain out of anyone on the floor tonight.
Yeah, I mean, but we know the NBA. That they're not going to care. I mean, yeah, they'll care a little bit with this guy. He'll probably go from, 25 to 18. But generally, he's 22.
I think he could be a lottery pick if he plays well tonight. So inside the 14.
I think the NBA, I think he's going to play well tonight because he's been hot. But yeah. I'm not sure the NBA views it that way. I really don't think they care at all about winning or losing in college. Based on every mock draft I read, all these guys were long gone. I mean, most of them have been out of the tournament for 3 weeks. So what do they care? I mean, every great player, almost all the great modern players didn't do anything in college basketball.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. All right, so we've got a lot to do. We've got the UConn women back to the top of the mountain that we saw yesterday. Kind of surprised that South Carolina really couldn't make that a game in the second half. And so we'll talk about Gino Auriemma and Paige Beckers and whether UConn being dominant is good for the sport. I think it's kind of interesting that the women's college basketball, talk about a rocket ship. They have been on a rocket ship, and it's all without UConn winning national titles. Like, they haven't won since 2016. So it's been nearly a decade of them. Listen, they've been great. They're still getting to Final Fours, Perloff. But I think there's something about the parity at the top of the sport ended up helping the sport a lot because it became a little UConn, ho-hum, here they are again. They got the best players, and they're going to win. And then somebody else entered the conversation. And then Caitlin Clark took this thing to and her and Angel together with their rivalry, and Caitlin's shot making took this thing to a totally different stratosphere. I don't know if UConn being at the top of the mountain is actually the best thing for women's college hoops. It seems like the sport really started to grow in this exponential way when there was more parity.
Well,
we saw South Carolina come in, and we saw Notre Dame, and we saw all these other teams start to have a say.
So you do think UConn is what they were? Because isn't South Carolina still the team to beat?
I think UConn is now. They just crushed them yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, once. I feel like Dawn Saley is going to be back on top because UConn's going to lose a couple of people. Yeah, I mean, I don't think
UConn is Sarah Strong, though.
Yeah,
she's amazing.
Yeah,
she's a freshman. Yeah.
But don't you feel like South Carolina is just
and
going
AZ
to
Fund's coming back.
Reform?
I think they both will. Like, yeah. I can see them being at the top of the mountain, both of them, and then we'll see what happens. And is UCLA going to have something to say about this? And Texas is back.
Well, South Carolina's won two in the last 4 years, and then LSU. Yeah, I don't think
Juju Watkins, let's not forget about the USC stuff.
I don't feel like UConn is unbeatable now, like they were back in the day. But even that would be good. I don't necessarily think. I think it was Caitlin. I'm not sure it was the dominant team. I mean, Caitlin didn't win a title.
No, but she was playing for national.
Yeah, I'm not so sure what the formula. Why is there less buzz around this year than last year? Obviously, Caitlin. Is there any more to it?
I think Caitlin, but I will always maintain that I think Angel played a huge role in this too. I think it was Caitlin and her shot making, no doubt about it. And I think it was also Caitlin having a foil. Like Paige Beckers, who's the foil? Juju? I mean, they didn't even get to play against each other because Watkins got hurt, which is a shame. But I think the rivalry aspect is big. I think UConn-Tennessee back in the day, that rivalry definitely helped. I'm a huge proponent of rivalries. I think they help sports immensely, from team sports to the individual stuff.
So you think Caitlin would not have had the explosion if it wasn't for Angel?
No, I think it helped. I think it took it to a different level because the conversation got into different pockets of society too, right? Like it did with Magic and Bird. There was a racial element to it. There's like a who you got element. It got set up as like good versus the good versus the villain, like all of that stuff, which whether that's right or wrong or true or not true, it all helped. So yeah. I don't think Paige Beckers doesn't have a foil.
Got
her
it.
Own knee, unfortunately. Like right, her injuries.
But that's also part of why UConn hasn't been where they usually are, is because they've lost her to injury. And I think did they lose in two Final Fours when she was healthy?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I mean, like
they're getting there.
So it's not like they've disappeared. They've been there, and like they lost to Caitlin Clark last year in the semis.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, like that, like they're there. It's not like they've taken that many steps back. They've had some bad luck along the way,
and that's great. And I never thought UConn was going anywhere, and they shouldn't because of all the talent. But they didn't win. They won yesterday. They hadn't won since 2016. And what happened while they were not winning titles? The sport got to a level that we had not seen, and that's like. It sounds like I'm denigrating them. I just think people wanted to see a little new blood.
I think they wanted parity. And that was the thing. Like, it was, a dynasties can help a sport, but only so much. If it becomes almost like the Harlem Globetrotters versus the Washington Generals, at a certain point, that act gets old. And that's kind of what it was for women's basketball for UConn. They had, like, 3 years in a row where they were, like, undefeated. Like, I think Caitlin was great, but I think also that you had multiple teams and multiple programs rise up over these last 4 or 5 years has definitely helped women's game as well, because it wasn't just Caitlin's games that did well. LSU did well.
Right.
USC did well. Like, there were other teams who also
South
were
Carolina
getting good
well.
Ratings. South Carolina, right. There were other teams who were getting good ratings because people realized, oh, there are more teams to follow than just one team or one player.
I don't know. I'm just a little... I think the sport is now at a different place. Like 3 years ago, before Caitlin, like the ratings were nothing. I mean, South Carolina UConn had 4 million watched in 2022, watched the last game. Maybe that's because UConn was so dominant. I'm not sure it's a paradigm. I think it was Caitlin opened people's eyes to the sport, and now everybody loves the sport. So I think, or not Caitlin, but whatever, the sport was ready to go. I'm not sure. You guys are saying it was the parody. I'm not sure exactly why it was ready to go.
I think people got sick of UConn, just like, the Warriors got backlash, like the Kansas City Chiefs got backlash, and in times that by 1,000 with UConn because they were just so dominant.
But wouldn't you need to see ratings going up, 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 and then using Perloff's like Spurs example, Raiders ratings coming back down because we were tired of watching Gino Auriemma. The ratings were the ratings. Mm. Like parity might have helped, but this is a 95% Caitlin Clark conversation.
Yeah.
Parity without her over the last couple of years, they're not doing
Angel
this.
Too, right? Angel too, like the whole thing.
But Angel without Caitlin is not the same thing either. Like this is about Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, I mean, South Carolina, Iowa was famously the highest rated game by far. There was no Angel in that.
USC, South Carolina versus Iowa.
Yeah, South Carolina, yeah. Iowa.
18 million.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I'd be curious to know what the ratings are from yesterday. We'll probably get them soon. Did this also happen to anyone else, just as a side? I asked EJ and Perloff about this, and I didn't get a follow-up. I have to look. I was watching the women's final on ABC, okay? So, like, the main ABC channel. And every time they went to commercial break, it never actually fired the commercials. It was just the in-arena, like, camera,
you had
high
the league
angle.
Pass?
Yeah, the league, oh, the league pass for the championship game. It wasn't even logged in.
You were watching on like regular TV or streaming? Like,
no, main ABC on my actual television, just Verizon Fios, cable.
Yeah, that's weird. I was watching on ABC too, and I don't remember not having commercials.
Well, one of the weird things is that I could actually hear some of the in-arena stuff. So, like, Holly Rowe did an interview with Gino Auriemma during in between the first and second quarter, and I heard that in the commercial break.
That's weird.
You heard that raw?
I heard the raw, and I'm like, wait a minute. Someone is going to get caught on a hot mic here, and there's going to be a career's going to die today that we didn't expect.
Happened on SNL.
Yeah.
Where the crowd cursed.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that. But, I mean, that could get real bad if you say something really unseemly on a hot mic. But everyone kept it going, kept appearances.
Is anyone worried about Maggie?
I'm on TV.
About her, bro.
And all those issues with TNT and TBS, now a USA Network one coming.
She was hearing Holly Rowe during the commercials.
This is how they get the conspiracies to her.
Yeah.
I'm always hearing Holly Rowe. That's what I didn't tell
you. Hang out with Aaron Rodgers.
You told us that yesterday. I Googled it. I couldn't find anything. So I was like, what is going on here?
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's, that's two.
Yeah.
Starring Maggie.
Could it have been a Fios thing?
I guess. I mean, am I the chief? Uh-oh. Unreliable narrator? Uh-oh.
Wait, when you say you heard a Holly Rowe interview, who was she interviewing? Was it somebody in the game or was it some...
Maggie, tell the voices to calm down.
Voices.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Yeah, I'm hearing things.
There's no documentation of any of this.
Boy. Planet Zoltron last night. All right, Bogus has headlines.
These headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., the latest big leaguer to get paid. The first baseman and the Blue Jays ending their prolonged negotiations with a reported 14-year agreement worth $500 million. There are apparently no deferrals, and Vladdy gets a full no-trade clause. He's already a four-time All-Star, still just 26 years old.
Yeah, this is a bummer because we all did this like home run, kind of season-long home run bet where we all got three players. We did it as a draft, and whoever is the cumulative most home runs wins.
Yeah, I misunderstood the assignment.
Yeah, no, Manny, I think you were hurting that day. Didn't get it.
I just didn't understand the English.
Yeah, Piggy Mike Trout was certainly
Sammy Sosa,
certainly
Matt Olson, number one.
But I picked Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Who?
Thinking this was going to be a contract year and he was going to be super motivated. And that lasts until April 6th.
Yeah. He also had no home run. He still has no home run. So that motivation wasn't there yet.
You know who has a couple of home runs? Mike Trout.
Yeah. Manny was bragging about Mike Trout catching fire this weekend. Mike Trout. I mean, it's not Joe Schmo.
Well, he's played, 50 games the last 10 seasons?
Yeah. And he'll hit 25 home runs.
It's pretty good. Sorry, Bogues, back to you.
On the field, baseball-wise, last night, the Red Sox are red hot.
2-1 for now. Loaded up. The pitch is drilled high and deep into left field. That's way back. It's going to catch some green. One run scores behind Narvaez. Here's Rafaela. Bregman loves Fenway. It's a two-run double, and the Sox lead 4-1.
That is from Red Sox Radio. Bregman in Boston just getting started against the Cardinals on Sunday Night Baseball. He tacked on a three-run homer, finishing with four hits and six RBI in an 18-7 rout of St. Louis. The Sox sweeping a doubleheader. They have won five in a row overall. Alex Ovechkin did it with time to spare.
The right side to Wilson, centered up. Ovechkin has it. He scores! He scores! Alex Ovechkin scores 895! There's a new goal-scoring champion, and his name is Alexander Ovechkin! He has done it here on Long Island!
Bonus points to John Walton on Caps Radio for knowing it's on Long Island, not in Long Island. Ovi making history with a left-wing wrister midway through the second period yesterday afternoon. The only goal the Caps scored in a 4-1 loss to the Islanders, but who cares? Dylan Strome had the secondary assist.
Everything about it was perfect. The way he shot it, the way he wound up and shot it, it was just, I think it was a picture-perfect goal. And just sometimes those moments happen where you kind of got to pinch yourself to believe that you're really in this moment and really on the ice, you know, celebrating or a part of it. And it's just, it was awesome.
So he gets 895, breaking Gretzky's all-time mark. Gretzky goes home after only a couple of days, just a weekend, chasing Ovi around the country.
That was
no
a
big
quick
deal.
One.
Not too bad.
DC to Long Island, no big.
And there are five games left in the regular season. Does he get to 900? Now before the year's over.
Well, Gretzky said he'd buy him a car if he gets.
I did hear that,
which is cool.
Yeah, no, Gretzky was awesome about this. Yeah, I saw he wouldn't hug him because he was too sweaty after the game. But other than that, Gretzky gets an A+ for this.
So gracious, and he said it's because Bobby Orr or Gordy Howe, was in the building when he broke Gordy's record, and he wanted to pay it forward. And even his wife Janet, who I know Perloff is a massive fan of, she was there to bring a gift to Ovi's wife. I mean, they really did this thing right.
I'll say it. She looks remarkable.
She hasn't aged.
Alrighty. I mean, I'm sure she's gotten help, but that's the only thing I
can.
Yes, very true. But it's the only thing I could see on the ice yesterday. She looked
how about
beautiful.
Ovechkin's wife? I mean,
as comparison, give me Janet 11 times out of 10.
Mm-hmm. You want to share the dad joke frenzy we had over?
You two got something private.
That was a side text.
Yeah,
left everybody out.
Yeah, you know what? Just keep that to yourself.
Yeah,
you were watching Holly Rowe Raw interviews, so I didn't want to disturb
Holly
you.
Rowe.
Not on purpose.
Holly Rowe interviewing.
Do you know R.E.M. is dropping F bomb or something?
Maggie's watching Holly Rowe interview a ghost, and me and Bogus are.
You were watching real Janet Jones and real Mrs. Ovechkin. I'm sorry, I don't know her name.
I think her name is Nastia.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yes.
By the way, we can get more into this. I had no idea what Ovechkin had planned for all this memorabilia and merch. Get into that in a minute. 888-710-4ISN. I shouldn't call it merch. Memorabilia.
Bad day to be a beer as well. Oh, man. Ovi was crushing those beers after the game.
He did on Friday night, too. While he was waiting to do press, he just grabs a Bud Light and pops and let's go.
Hey, when you're the
couldn't be a maverick.
When you're the all-time scorer in the NHL, you can have a brewski whenever you'd like.
He claims he's never been hungover. Is that like saying you invented the question mark?
No,
like,
he's just always drunk, that's why.
remember the Capitals, the Stanley Cup run afterwards?
He was swimming in a fountain.
Hungover at least once, come on.
And he did the same thing yesterday after he scored the goal. He did like the swimming in the fountain thing.
He almost busted his chin. Nah. That was not a pretty dive.
When it's you're the all-time leading scorer in the NHL.
No, you do what you want, but it's such a huge claim. Never been hungover. I kind of believed him.
Fictional claim.
Cap.
Yeah. Also fantasy.
Wilt slept with all those women. Well, Alexander Ovechkin never had a hangover.
What's more impressive?
Wilt.
I don't think
Wilt needed to try very hard. I think these women saw him coming. Was like, do I want to sleep with Wilt Chamberlain today? Yes or no.
As for the alcohol, they had to try very hard. And
that you got to drink. Put it on the poll. No, I'm just kidding. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. So you guys on the phones, you want to talk about tonight's national championship game. I do have an update. What is going to happen to the puck, the stick, Ovi's jersey. I had no idea. It's not going to the Hockey Hall of Fame. I'll tell you exactly what's happening to it. We'll do that next. It's M&P. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I'm talking about Duke's collapse in the Final Four. The implications of that. Did you enjoy it? I think a lot of people did. And obviously, we've got tonight's national championship game. Right now, Florida sitting as just a one-point favorite over Houston. This opened as Houston minus 1.5, so everyone thinks it's going to be tight. The total, 141.5. Let's go to Martin, who's in Houston. Martin, how excited are you for your Cougs in the national championship game?
Hey, I'm very excited. I went to school there at U of H and University of Houston. And, Duke, a combination, you know, Duke collapsing, yes, that you could make that argument.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But they collapsed because of what the University of Houston was doing on defense and other things. But you remember the NBA in the 90s. Remember how the NBA was in the 1990s, early 90s, when the scores were like 90 to 85?
Yeah.
You remember those days?
Yep.
Well, that's how, like it or not, that's how the Cougars are. If the Cougars can keep this score tonight against Florida in the range of 65 to 60, that's very much into the Cougars'
Their MO.
In their favor.
That's the thing, Martin, that's so crazy. And good luck to your Cougs, and thank you for the phone call. The crazy part is that you kind of have like this total clash, Pearl, because you have a Cougars team that is holding teams to under 70 points, and then you have a Florida team that's consistently scoring in the 80s. So what's going to give here?
Right, but Florida can also be pretty good on defense, too. They have some defensive players. I think it'll be an arm wrestling match, kind of like Martin said.
Does that play into the Houston's hands?
Yeah. Well, yes, but we've seen Houston play. Florida play some tough teams, too. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If Houston, if you're going to credit their defense, where was their defense before that? So they weren't playing good defense, and in the last 10 minutes, to me, it was the Duke collapse. Like, I think Houston was doing the same things for most of the game. Did Houston, they got a little more aggressive and pressed more, but generally, I think that was, you got to look at Duke felt it because they weren't having trouble with Houston's defense for the early part of the game. So what changed?
Well, I do think that a big part of why Houston was able to come back is how uncomfortable they made Duke in those inbounding situations. So
right,
it's like,
that's
it was
like
situational
panic.
Defense, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah, but I mean, they could have done that all game. I felt like Duke, that's a classic panic situation where Duke is trying to inbound the ball. And also that technical was bizarre.
Yeah, the technical foul that Houston got, reaching over the baseline to knock the ball out of the Duke, the inbounder's hands. That's when I thought Houston was cooked.
Oh,
I was like,
that's
they're collapsing.
They were cooked?
Well, I was there like, they're collapsing. You know, like they can't hold their composure. Meanwhile, little did I know, 25 seconds later, they'd hit a huge three and they get a huge putback dunk and it was on.
Yeah, I think there was panic on Duke's part. And I don't think that's, there's any question about it.
So is that on the players or John Shire?
I mean, I think a lot of that's on Shire. Yeah. But to be fair to Houston's defense, I mean, no one scored double figures except for Flagg and Knipple. I mean, that's a winning formula, right? Like, Malawash
was a zero.
He was on a
milk carton. 7'2".
He was on a milk carton. I mean, the guy had what? Zero rebounds in 21 minutes. I mean, that speaks to Houston's physicality and how they made him uncomfortable.
So you think they wore him down, though, because it wasn't working?
I think they did. That's what I was going to get to. And that's what Brendan Hayward actually said on Friday, which he was like, the one thing about Houston, Crean. Crean said that the one thing about Houston is they wear you down. And I've seen that, and I've seen teams go through that where maybe the first half, it looks like you're doing well, sometimes even do two and a half of a game, but getting to that end of the game, it gets a lot harder against that defense.
Well, Florida did against Jani Broome, you know, and they saw that he was compromised in the other national semifinal. They saw he was compromised, and then they just kept throwing guys at him. And by the end of the game, he was completely worn down.
Well, Florida has been maybe the same thing. They've been tremendous late in games. I mean, they were getting killed by UConn, and they just wore them down because they can throw a lot of big bodies at you too. This is, to answer Martin's question, I think it could be more of a wrestling match, which I guess plays in the Cougars' hands, but Florida doesn't seem afraid of that style either.
888-710-4ISN. I do want to pay off something I tease going into the break about what's going to happen to Alexander Ovechkin's stuff that he scored this record-setting goal with yesterday. 895 passes Gretzky. So did you guys know that Ovechkin is starting his own hockey museum in Moscow, Russia? It's going to open in 2 years. He's been collecting over 300 signed hockey sticks
from
all over the league.
So it's hockey in general. It's not just the Alexander Ovechkin Museum in Moscow.
I think it's going to be like the Alexander Ovechkin Museum and also here some other guys.
It's kind of like the Flash Museum, where the Flash has a museum for himself.
Yes,
it's
kind
all
of.
Things. Yeah, gotcha.
What?
I didn't know about that, but
it sounds like a presidential library plus. Like a presidential library with some stuff from other presidents.
Yeah, if a presidential library also had smashed beer cans from a championship run, then yes, something like that. But it's going to be the puck, the stick, and the jersey. Now, he was like switching out. He switched out the jersey right after he scored the goal. So he had a warm-ups jersey, and then they thought he may actually change jerseys every period. But they have multiple jerseys, but the one that he was wearing while scoring the goal is going to be in Moscow. So if you want to see all that stuff, you got to book a plane.
Not going to Toronto, eh?
If you want to see all that stuff, you're not seeing that stuff. There's no booking a plane.
Get the first.
If anyone's listening to us, is not going to Moscow to watch.
There's some diehard OV fans out there.
Yeah, Russian Americans.
Go to the motherland. Their motherland. 888-710-4ISN. That's where all that stuff's going. And then other things will go to the Hockey Hall of Fame, and some of it will go to the Capitals, and some of it will probably be up for sale, and it's going to cost a lot. Maggie and Perloff Show coming up. A lot of football for you. What happened over the weekend, we'll tell you.